HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.
Brought to you by Irish Life Health.
Okay, so today I am joined by Aileen Bailey. Aileen is the HR Director for the Irish Rugby Football Union, or RFU. Aileen, thanks for joining our podcast today. How are you?
Thank you for having me, Declan. Really appreciate it.
Why don't you tell me what you do for the IRFU?
For the IRFU, I am their HR director. So, I'm tasked with looking at all things HR for, I suppose, Irish rugby. My focus is IRFU day-to-day, but I do have staff in each of the provinces that would be head of HRs in their own right in each of the provinces. But I suppose I am tasked with the function of HR throughout Irish rugby. So it's a challenging but rewarding job. Enjoy it.
Absolutely. And just tell me a little bit about your career today, just how you got to the current role.
Yeah, no problem. So study-wise, I would have gone to DCU straight out of school and did a business degree there for 4 years with a specialism in HR, and would have gotten the CIPD accreditation with that. And then straight out of there, I went to AIB and I worked in a couple of their HR departments, traveled for a little bit, went to Australia, followed my friends, came back, worked in recruitment, which I really, really enjoyed, worked in the agency. And then from there, I went into the FAI, into their HR department. I started off as an executive and then got promoted up to HR manager. And I really enjoyed HR and sport. That was where, obviously, I got my first experience of that. I stayed there for about 5.5 years, and between there and my role now in the RFU, I worked for a communications company and an airline. So yeah, it's been varied. I didn't know if I'd ever go back to sport again, but I did, and I loved it. Loved it in the FAI and loved it in the RFU. So I'm with the RFU now since September 2014. Yeah, so it's quite a while. Yeah, really, really enjoying it. And it's kind of grown over the years. So it hasn't gone kind of stale or anything like that. So I'm still very much just lots of challenges, lots of things still to be worked on. So lots to get you up out of bed in the morning and keep you going throughout the day.
And I have to ask, Aileen, are you a sporty person, or did you just get into sport, or was that like a target all along? Was it like one of your FAI or IRFU? Like, were they dream sort of organizations to end up with?
Probably, if I'm honest now, I wouldn't be a sporty person at all. I would have played sports, but not to any kind of level, and not football or rugby. But it was probably the HR departments that attracted me along with the brand. So when I was coming back from Australia, I definitely had a list of 4 or 5 companies that I wanted to work for, and the FAI and the RFU were on there because of the brand, because of, I suppose, I was aware of the HR setups there at the time. So when I went into the FAI, it would have been a one-man band at the time. So I would have joined Stephen Driver, who was there at the time. And it was very much kind of setting it up, he being there a year or a little bit more. And so I suppose it was the attraction of the challenge of setting everything up, policies, well-being, whatever, the whole kit and caboodle. And it wasn't quite the same when I went to the RFU. It was definitely set up there. Still lots of other work to do in there, but just plenty of scope to do what you need to do. Those type of departments, those kind of roles are attractive to me because they're generalist roles. I never kind of specialise in one area. I like variety. You know, HR is a great gig. I love it, and I'll be doing it until I retire. But some of the tasks can be monotonous or not your favorite part of the role with anything. So I love the variety of having those kind of generalist roles. So that was what would attract me to a role. I like a challenge. I have 2 small boys, and every role I take on, I want it to be, you know, worthwhile leaving the house 5-6 days a week. I like to set myself challenges and the team challenges to kind of achieve the whole time, make things better. And we've done a good job of it in the RFU. We still have a long way to go, but we, as long as I feel like we're making strides, making progress, I'm happy out. So that's where we're at.
And I might come back to one or two of those things. You mentioned the brand, and it was one of the things I was going to ask you actually. So excellent segue for me. I think having such a sort of a high profile brand, whether it's the IRFU or the FAI, Is there anything unique that you see for HR professionals, you know, working in those worlds, in the world of sports, in the world of high profile organizations? Is there anything you see there that maybe someone in a FMCG doesn't see?
Yeah, well, I mean, working in or for a brand, you know, things that happen end up in the papers at times. So, you know, that could be a challenge too, and something to be aware of. But in terms of the staff themselves, it's never an issue attracting people into the organization, but often they're merging their passion with work, which is, you know, fantastic, because it sounds like the magic thing. You've kind of putting the two together, and that's great to be doing your passion all week. And it's fantastic. And you attract like fabulous people, like really, really do, in both the FAI and the IRFU. But it can be a challenge from a HR perspective because they're merging the two. They tend to do long hours and they put a huge amount of effort in, you know, which is all good. But you worry as well about burnout. And I mean, every HR professional worries about burnout in different industries, but you really do worry about that and the hours they're putting in. And there is no escape then if you are, you know, if you're doing your kind of normal job working in a shop and then you're volunteering maybe on the side of a rugby pitch or helping out with the kids, it's probably your release. But then if you're merging the two, it's a worry. It's not necessarily a concern that the staff would bring to me, but you just hope that they're kind of getting that release when they're going on holidays. They can get away from it and come back refreshed too, but they give a huge amount of time. And I'm sure it's with other industries as well, but in sports, generally, the staff give massive amount of time. They work so, so hard. And it's definitely something that you be mindful of all the time.
Interesting point. I wouldn't have thought of that before. So yeah, really, really insightful. Because I say, you know, potentially for any misstep to be newspaper worthy, does it make it a little bit harder to push the envelope, or do you find yourself having to be a little bit more conservative in approaches in general?
Yes, sometimes you try to kind of ignore that aspect to an extent, and you just get on, and as long as you're doing things fairly to the best of your ability, you're bringing people in on decisions and different things that go on. I'm lucky, I have a fantastic CEO that's in place at the moment. There's a great leadership team. Previously, like, Kevin's in probably a year and a half, I should know off by heart, but about a year and a half now. So, and he's doing a super job in there as CEO. And we had Philip Brown before that, and they were so open to HR. It was definitely pushing against a wide open door for a lot of the things I want to put in place. And just, there was lots of progress we wanted to make in terms of well-being and diversity and different areas like that, and just really looking after staff. So I've been so lucky in that. So no, it's not something I worry about massively. I think if the values of an organization match yours and you're kind of achieving what you want to achieve and there's progress being made, you know, that's a good thing. We work with great place to work, healthy place to work, and the Irish Centre of Diversity to always improve. Like, we don't think we're on a journey, and we always will be on a journey, and just keep improving year on year. And I suppose keeping the eyes and ears out, what's happening out there. I think it's important to keep your network broad, see what's happening in other industries and what's working for them, what might work for us. But yeah, it can be a challenge at times, and there are a lot of eyes on big brands, and it's not exclusive to sport. There's a lot of eyes on big brands, and, you know, people have opinions and they're entitled to them. But yeah, it can be difficult at times. People are working so, so hard all across the IRFU and, you know, at that top table to make sport as inclusive as we possibly can. And there's lots of hard work being done.
And you've mentioned well-being, you've mentioned burnout, mm-hmm. and yeah. You've mentioned it in different guises. What's your mm-hmm. own approach to how organizations should look out for the well-being of their staff?
I think it's important to get it in as part of your strategy. Start off small. I suppose it depends on what stage of the journey that you're at and how open the senior management team, the CEO, is to it. So I've been on a couple of panels about well-being. It's something that I'm massively passionate about. I really enjoy that aspect of HR. I think it's so, so important that we keep staff engaged and really look after them. And I think as a HR person, if you're going for for jobs, you're looking for those companies that mirror those values that you have and those interests, and they are investing in people. But I think people who are coming to interview for companies are expecting, there's an expectation that there is a well-being program. It's just a done thing. It would have been a buzzword when I was studying and maybe in my early career, but now there's an expectation. But it's just so important. It helps the staff feel part of the company, looked after. That obviously can extend out to family. Like, we would have a lot of staff from all over Ireland that work for us, and then people travel from abroad to come and work for the RFU. So it's really important for us that they feel part of the Irish rugby family from the get-go. So we would have started off quite small. Wellbeing wasn't in place when I came in. It was something that people were kind of dipping the toe in. So we would have dipped our toe in the water for probably 18 months and then kind of built on it year on year. So as I said, we work with the likes of Great Place to Work, Healthy Place to Work, and they give fantastic frameworks and a network that you can kind of tap into to improve year on year. There's obviously survey and different initiatives they introduce that you can introduce into your own company. And it's just so, so helpful, because you can be thinking, oh God, what am I going to do? What do I do here now? How do I start? And you don't have to have massive budgets. Either you can start off small. Like, I've worked in places that I've had no budget, and you're utilizing what's around you. But it's also good to remember, as a HR person, you shouldn't be doing it on your own. You need your wellbeing champions, like a group, an employee forum group, to help you get the message out, get the feedback, and work together. Because I think if you're, you know, doing it on your own, as a solo HR person, or as even as part of a team, it can just seem like it's a HR initiative, it's another HR email. Whereas if you want to get it integrated properly into the strategy and into the company, into the culture, you need to have it kind of tentacles all over the business to help you out. And it's their company. You'll hit cul-de-sacs with your own ideas as a HR solo person or as a team. So it's really important to kind of test the temperature out there with various staff from different departments of different ages and different interests. That's really, really important. And then they'll be able to inform the plan for the year. So I think that's key.
Getting buy-in on your people strategy can often be challenging, but it doesn't have to be. At Irish Life Health, we help HR leaders to unlock insights and make data-driven HR decisions. Join over 2,500 HR leaders who partner with us to help their employees live a healthier life. Search Irish Life Health to find out more. Irish Life Health Act is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
So, Aileen, obviously the IRFU, Irish Rugby, you know, it's a high performing team. How does that ethos or that high performance viewpoint, is that contagious? Does it filter into other parts of the organization, including HR? And if so, you know, how might that manifest itself?
Yeah, 100% it does. It really, really does. The years and the weeks go by so quickly when you work in sports generally, particularly over the last few years in the RFU. And you're just excited for that, the other side of the house, I suppose the rugby side of the house, because like they're in competition or they're preparing for competition, and just to be, I suppose, around that. And it's so exciting. So it's exciting internally in the building. And then obviously people, the fans, are excited externally if you're kind of out and about. But it's just, there's something very, very special about going out to the High Performance Centre and seeing these people train day in and day out, watching the Women's Sevens team qualify for the Olympics, and it's just amazing. Because you know the players, and it's just amazing. And then obviously the men going to the Men's 15th, going to the Rugby World Cup shortly. So I think you naturally attract and retain people who want to be in a high performing environment. There's an expectation that people work hard. The hours can be long at times, and then there's definitely off or dips in the season. But I think naturally it seems to attract or encourage people to work as hard as they possibly can. There's a fabulous group of people that work there. Everyone is kind of willing success. So there is a fantastic culture of hard work in the organization and accountability in a positive way. There's a lovely culture and a value set there. And it's just, yeah, there's kind of not, I suppose, yeah, it is probably a no excuses culture, but there isn't anybody kind of dragging their heels. We wouldn't in HR have a huge amount of people that aren't performing if they have over the years it's been dealt with them. And we sorted and moved on, but it'd be really, really small. I think people just want so much to be part of it. It definitely helps when the teams are doing so well. It's definitely easier to get up on a Monday morning knowing that you're kind of contributing in some small way to what everyone's watching and the success. But there's something very special about working in an environment, and it just kind of oozes everywhere that we work hard here, we succeed, and we strive for better. So it no means does anyone think they're perfect or anything like that. It's you're constantly learning and listening and seeing, okay, how can we make those small improvements to be better the next time? So yeah. It's a fabulous environment to work in.
I'm guessing it makes things like organizations now are constantly talking about their, you know, their purpose, you know, and trying to connect their employees with their purpose. I'm guessing that's a lot easier for you. You know, it's a lot. It's much more linear to point at what your overall purpose of the organization is, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it absolutely is. It's never an issue for us. And obviously we all go to different courses or networking, you know, as HR professionals, and you're listening to other companies and other industries. And that would something that people would cite as a difficulty, but it isn't. In the RFU, everyone is very clear on the purpose, and they feel part of it. And it's definitely an exciting place to be.
Last sort of sport related question. I think at times people try to describe high performing corporate teams in the same way that they describe high performing sports teams. Is it a valid comparison, do you believe? Are there parts of it that are useful, or is it just people wishing they were involved in sports and this is their only way to do it?
I think it's good. You see a lot of training courses that would refer to high performance. I don't think there's any harm with it. Obviously, it's not the exact same environment, but I suppose the company expects the same type of thing. They want you to be doing your best, getting that, you know, going that extra mile, learning and listening and reaching your full potential, I suppose, and working together as a team. I suppose people can relate to teams, and a lot of people like would look up to that kind of a successful team. So it's probably, you know, a good parallel for people to describe to get a bit of fire in people, I suppose, to drive on, because this is the team that they're part of. It mightn't be, you know, the Irish rugby team or whatever, but it is the team that they're part of, and they have the chance to make a difference and all that kind of thing. So I don't think there's any harm. It's definitely not the same thing, and I've never run out onto the Aviva Stadium either. But I don't think there's any harm. You see it all the time. People kind of comparing across. And what are any company trying to do? Get people motivated to work harder and do their very best in what they do and what they're good at. And there's absolutely no harm in it.
Last thing, what's the big sort of HR, the big ticket stuff you're thinking about yourself at the moment as a HR director? What's on the horizon? What trends are you keeping an eye on?
Yeah, definitely.
Where's it
all going? Oh, God. Yeah, we definitely have to keep the eyes and ears open, stay agile. At the moment, the RFU are operating a hybrid model, 2 days in the office for staff, 3 days at home, obviously with a bit of flexibility. That's in our kind of a 10 to 12 or our HQ office. We obviously have the high performance centre with the staff that would work around the teams. So that could be your S&C, your nutrition, your admin, your program managers. So they would generally work 5 days, and it's contact, it's in the office, and they travel. So we've kind of got a split between the two groups. I think there is an expectation, certainly from our staff, that the hybrid model is working, and they want it to continue. They're enjoying the benefits of both. And it is, for now, we've kind of said that we'll review it again kind of every 6 months. So July we'll be having a look at it again. But I think we do need to stay agile with it. You see now lots of articles and comments and different podcasts, people talking about, you know, maybe the trying out the 4-day week or a shorter week again and longer hours and whether that would work. I mean, I think for us, and I can only comment for us, in some departments that may work, in others it wouldn't. If you're, you need to kind of be available, and particularly during busy times. Like, people would often ask me, you must be really busy, it's Six Nations is on. It's like, it's busy all the time. But yeah, it's for a lot of staff, it would be really busy at that time. So three long days wouldn't work during that period. But I think it's just being open and listening to what's going on around us, and listening to what the staff want. So I think that is going to be a challenge that we need to keep our eye on as a HR department. Also, obviously, the cost of living is a difficulty for everybody. So we need to kind of keep our eye on that and make sure we're keeping up to things in terms of, you know, benchmarking and keeping ourselves as competitive as we possibly can. Recruitment and retention, you hear, speaking to people in my network, finding that difficult, recruiting and retaining people. That's not something that we would have struggled with previously. However, recruitment is a little bit of a challenge for us now. We're finding that difficult across Irish rugby. So it's just about, I suppose, staying fresh in that space. And we have a new communications director starting with us in a few weeks, at the start of July. So we're going to be working with her in terms of our employer brand and making sure people see us as an employer. A lot of people would see us just as a source of entertainment, or, you know, attached to a sports team, but not necessarily understand the roles that we have, or the roles we have around the team.
Aileen Bailey, who is HR Director of the Irish Rugby Football Union. Aileen, thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast. Brought to you by Irish Life Health.